Yes, from what Karen was saying earlier, I definitely think I need confused.com this morning. Having married one Ruth 48 years ago and now another one this morning, it does tend to be a bit muddling. But what an epic story, a story which has so much tragedy, hardship, poverty, tough choices, loyalty and faith, courage, danger, romance, rags to riches, and a happy ending. And indeed, as we shall see later, more than one happy ending. I guess if you follow football, this might also describe a typical week in the life of Woking Football Club, only without the riches and the happy ending. Don't worry, it's my last reference to football this morning. But I do want to bring out four aspects of this story just to help us as Christian people walking the road with Jesus today. So first, let's think about Naomi. So here's a woman driven by famine to move from her home in Bethlehem into the territory of Moab. Now, Moab was a pagan place, a place of false gods and the longtime enemy of Israel. So there, in this alien place, Naomi loses first her husband and then both her sons. Later, when conditions ease, as we saw, she decides to move back to Israel. And she pleads with her two daughters-in-law to stay behind in their own land. For what future can they possibly have as refugees in Israel? Two young widows with no means of support. And again, as we saw, Ruth says, "No, I'm going with you." And she makes that wonderful speech of loyalty to Naomi and to Naomi's God, the God of Israel. Ruth loved her mother-in-law, but equally she had come to follow Naomi's faith and to love the God that Naomi loved. And that faith and love had seen Naomi through three bereavements. But then, who knew what the future would hold next? But Ruth was prepared to follow Naomi, both in her footsteps and in her faith in God, into a possibly hostile country where she, as a Gentile, would be a complete outsider. So how transparent, how contagious must Naomi's trust in her God have been? Can we have, we've got the slide, okay. We don't need the next one yet. There's a challenge here for us. How are we getting on in passing the torch of faith and Christian truth to the next generations, whether they be our own families or more widely? For us in the Open the Book team, it's so important to be able to take Bible stories into our two local schools. Here's a, if I can find it, a fridge magnet we were given recently saying, "I will pass on the Bible to the next generation," and that's proudly on our fridge at home. So as a team, we've reached out to hundreds of school children over the years, and as individuals, as parents, as grandparents, as godparents, as mentors, as friends, we can all be involved in sharing our faith and the message of the Bible. And in this context, again, as Karen said, isn't it great that we have these two baptisms next week when these two young people, Saskia and Philippa, are confessing their faith in Jesus, a faith they share with their wider family. And I was encouraged also in talking to a grandfather recently when he told me how he would collect his little granddaughter from school once a week. And she would often ask him questions about Christianity. And so he would chat to her quite naturally about Jesus and his own faith. But the question remains, what kind of role models are we? Is there anything so distinctively Jesus-centered and attractive about us that younger people looking at us want to follow Jesus themselves? And that for me is the challenge that Naomi brings. And I recognize that I speak these words to myself first and foremost. Do my lifestyle choices, my priorities, my topics of conversation even, point people towards or away from Jesus? Let's look at Boaz now. Could we have the next slide, please? Please forgive me for this. That's our eldest grandson, who was christened Toby Boaz. So I thought I'd put a picture up of his 9th birthday 3 years ago. And if Toby turns out to be half the man that Boaz was, I think we'll all be delighted. Next slide, please. So Boaz comes across in the story as a man of influence and respect, an honorable man. He took a shine to Ruth and wanted to marry her, yes. But first he had to discharge his responsibilities towards both Ruth and Naomi. Please do read the whole book of Ruth. It's very short to see why, as a relative of Elimelech, Boaz had both the right and the duty to provide for Ruth and Naomi, having first established that a nearer relative, who was Peter in the story, with a prior right, would not do so. It's fascinating reading, particularly if you like Old Testament history. Anyway, this gives Boaz a clear run. He's done everything by the book. He paid the price to buy back Elimelech's land from Naomi, thus providing a secure future for her. He redeemed the land. He kept it in the family. He paid the price of freedom from poverty and isolation for Naomi and Ruth. And then he married Ruth and took her into his own family. So he's a wonderful example, one of many in the Old Testament, of someone who is a prototype, if you like, a precursor of Jesus. Boaz as a kinsman, a family member, a redeemer, a protector of Ruth, is a picture of Jesus, the Jesus who has paid the price on the cross for our sin, who has brought us out of poverty into his riches, and has changed us from outsiders to beloved children under his constant protection. I mean, the parallels here, I think, are just so rich, but we haven't got time this morning to take them further. But the question is, do you, do I, this morning, know this Jesus as your kinsman, redeemer, protector? I wonder what you would say, having seen the story and having read it perhaps many times in the past, was the most poignant scene in it. Well, for me, surely it must be the description of the parting of the ways between the two sisters-in-law. A single sentence, but a turning point which says so much. Chapter 1, verse 14. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. Now, both of them obviously loved Naomi dearly. It must have been heartbreaking for Orpah to say farewell. But ultimately, when the crunch came, she chose the familiar over the unknown. She chose her old ways, her own people, and her own gods over Naomi's ways, Naomi's people, and the God of Israel. Perhaps I'm being a bit hard on Orpah, I don't know, but it does look like that while Ruth took the hard way of loyalty and faith, she, Orpah, took the easy way of returning to her old way of life. Next slide, please. So Ruth was prepared both to stand up and to stand out for her newfound faith. And it seems that Orpah wasn't. And so have you, have I, been prepared to stand up and stand out as Christians, to stand out for Jesus in an indifferent and sometimes hostile world? We can be tempted not to stand up and stand out as Christians today because it's tough at times, but not half so difficult to live for Christ here in the West as it is in so many countries in the world today. Let's not be content with a private faith, a faith we keep to ourselves, or a faith which only shows up on a Sunday. But let's strive for a faith which is visible to all, a faith in Jesus which affects and directs every part of life. Our families, our interests, our ambitions, even our thought life. No part of our lives outside the Lordship of Jesus. So when the crunch comes, and as it came for Ruth, and again I'm speaking mainly to myself, have I decided to stand up and stand out for Jesus? Next slide, please. Finally, what about the happy ending to this story about an ordinary refugee family making good? Well, in the big picture of things, I reckon there are at least four happy endings. First, the marriage. Secondly, the birth of Obed to carry on the family line. And much as we saw earlier, to the delight of Naomi and the whole of Bethlehem. Then thirdly, it turns out King David of Israel, born two generations later, is the great-grandson of Ruth and Boaz. And then, of course, as we heard, Jesus the Messiah himself was a direct descendant of King David, and therefore of Ruth. Think of that. A young Gentile widow becomes an ancestor of the Son of God. And just to add to the mix, Rahab, the woman we looked at last Sunday, and who's also in Jesus' family tree, turns out to be the mother of Boaz. An amazing story. But of course, none of the characters had the remotest idea at the time that they would be part of God's big picture. They were just doing what seemed to be right at the time and trying to follow God faithfully. But that faithful God chose to weave the lives of these three people into his tapestry of salvation history. And so if we are redeemed, if we are adopted into God's big family, then we too, living today, become spiritual heirs of Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz. And we too, therefore, have a place, if you like, in this sequence of happy endings. Yes, we're ordinary people living ordinary lives, but lives in which God overrules and works out his mysterious purposes. Simple acts of faith, loyalty, and kindness can have consequences we never dreamt of. One day, as the Bible says, we shall know as we are known, and we will give God all the glory.